Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Hey church, so excited to bring you the word today. Shout out to the West Campus. I miss you guys and I'm pumped to be here today. I'm going to build off of Pastor Jojo's message last week a little bit and build off a little bit off of Pastor Sam's message a few weeks ago when he was talking about God's love. And then Jojo was talking about loving our neighbor. And we're going to start off at John chapter 13. This is a story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And a little bit of context, you know, Jesus invited his disciples over for dinner. This is the last supper. This is before he's about to be crucified, okay? And so this is an important occasion. This is like an important dinner. This is the dinner you do not want to miss, okay? And on the way there, the disciples are debating about who is the greatest. Who is the greatest disciple? Who is the GOAT of all the disciples? Who do you think it is? There was no one, okay? None of them were the GOAT, okay? But they were going into this dinner, you know, kind of thinking highly about themselves. And so Jesus tries to do something extravagant, you know, extraordinary. This is not something that the teacher would do to the students. The teacher would do to the disciples. He takes out his outer robe, okay? He's got another robe inside, okay? He takes the towel and wraps it around his waist. And then he fills this basin of water, okay? And then he goes and washes the disciples' feet. Okay, and it's just like, what's happening? Picture that. And all the disciples are sitting down in a U shape, and he's washing their feet. And in verse 12, it says, when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garment and resumed his place. And he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. See, there was an attitude behind Jesus' action. It wasn't just an empty action. It wasn't just him teaching and being an example of, but there was a certain attitude you could catch when you really immerse yourself in the story. Because if you don't remember, I just said Jesus was about to die. This was his last supper, and he is going to think about loving his disciples at this moment. Shouldn't it be the other way around? And not to mention, this was actually what the lowest servant of the house would do. When someone went in for dinner, the lowest servant would wash the feet. Because let me tell you something, back then, people did not have Gore-Tex shoes. You know, they didn't have waterproof membranes. They didn't have big boots. They had slippers. And then with those slippers were dirty roads. With those dirty roads was mud when it rained. And so those feet were very smelly. Those feet were very dirty, okay? So it was customary to wash the feet, otherwise the dirt will trail all over the house. And you wouldn't even think, you wouldn't even ask the disciples to wash the teacher's feet. But Jesus does this? He's trying to show us something, church. He's trying to show us something so important. I want to speak to anyone that's trying to figure out what their part is in the world we live in. What's the purpose? What's the calling of God? You know, what do we need to do, especially now during this time? And it sounds simple. So we need to love others. But I'm talking about real love. I'm not talking about the love where we get the definition from the world, how the world depicts love in the movies. I'm talking about God's love. And that's the title of my message, Real Love. Real love. I'm searching for that real love. Dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-bum. That's some Mary J. Blige for you. Every time I was saying that, I was thinking about that song. Real love. You know, I grew up going to youth group on Friday nights. And it was something I did not like. A lot of people love youth groups, but I, to be honest, I hated it. Because I grew up in an area where it was very segregated. And so when I went to church, when I went to youth group Friday nights, there was, probably a big group of white people, you know, another group of black people that all stayed to themselves, and then me, the only brown guy. And it was tough because I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt like I felt like I didn't belong. And I was that guy that would stand because my dad would bring me early because he doesn't want me to miss anything. And I would stand there and just not know who to talk to. And I was like scared of someone like, well, first of all, I was upset that I wasn't being noticed. But then I was scared if I would get noticed because I wasn't sure if I'd get accepted. And we didn't have phones back then where you could pretend you're on your phone, you know, or call someone or text someone. So I would just go to the bathroom until service started and get a drink of water just so I wasn't seen alone. And it sucked. Until one person, this youth leader, saw me on a Friday night, and he came to me and started asking me questions and getting to know me. And I was like, yeah, of course, you just gotta do this. You just gotta do this. Like it's part of your job, it's part of your role. And then over time though, he got my parents' numbers. He would call my parents and ask my parents if I could come to youth group, if he could pick me up. He would invite me to youth group every Friday, even though I was invited. He would invite me to go hang out with his friends and play basketball. And over time, I felt the love. You know, I knew it wasn't just some superficial fake love. It was real love. And that's, church, that's what we need to do. Our love, like Jesus, our love can't just be seen, but it needs to be felt. And one of the greatest ways to do that is through our continuous invitation to have people in our life. And my first point is love ought to be inviting. How great is it when you get a wedding invite? I love wedding invites because that means everyone's getting together and celebrating, or you get an invite to go to the cottage or whatever it is. You know, invitations are awesome. I love invitations. See, Jesus invited his disciples to do life with him and to journey with him and to have dinner with him and to hike mountains and to feed, you know, thousands of people. They were doing life together. You know, and that symbol of him washing their feet is essentially, you know, a depiction of his whole journey with them. He always invited his disciples and they always felt the love. And that love was his discipleship. The discipleship that Jesus had, that Jesus underwent for his disciples, was love. The Great Commission is Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I can't think of a better way to love someone than to disciple them, to invite them into our world, to instruct them with what the Bible is saying, to teach them the word of God. I can't think of a better way. And the truth is, there are people in our city, there are people who might be in our church, and their feet are dirty. The dirt of discouragement, the dirt of despair, the dirt of lies that they're carrying, that's leaving a trail. And we have a responsibility. We have the responsibility that God has given us to go wash those feet. Wash those feet with the word. Wash those feet with the love of God. Let people know who they are. And we need to use the word. We need to be the word needs to consume us so we can speak that over people. You know, it's like you would invite people for dinner, you know, maybe you have a decent sized dinner table and you're sitting really far apart, keeping the physical distance. You know what I'm saying? Or you're going out to the park and doing a big circle, whatever you want to do. We got to put Jesus as the center of it all. Just that picture of the disciples and Jesus in the center washing their feet. We got to have Jesus in our conversations. We got to talk about him. We need to ask people as we invite them into our world, what's going on in theirs? We need to teach them what we're going through, what God is teaching us, what God is speaking to us. You know, we need to take our masks off, not the physical mask. Keep the physical mask on. We need to take the spiritual mask off. You know what I'm saying? And we need to just do life with one another. That's discipleship. That's the beginning of discipleship. I want to shout out my boy, Walter DeMessa. I just picture everyone screaming at their home right now. Walter DeMessa, he's a king. This guy loves people. He really loves people. And as a result, he disciples people. He does a group called Five Loaves and Two Fish on Saturday mornings. He has 9 guys, and they get into the Bible. They get into the Word. He just facilitated start of the group, and all these guys are just encouraging one another, are just wiping the dirt off the people, off of their feet and making sure that people are not feeling discouraged. making sure that people are full of life and using the word, using the scripture to encourage them. You know, and I got to take part in one of their calls, which was awesome. And then a few weeks ago, well, actually about a month ago now, they called me like, Jerry, can you hop onto this call, the Zoom call? I'm like, yeah, sure. And they're like, Pastor Jerry, we just really feel that we need to split the group up to invite others into the group, to include others, because we feel so refreshed from studying the word together. Other people, we know other people need this. So Nathan Ho, James Abbasafriki, they're running a group. Walter and Ray are running another group. This is discipleship. This is the multiplication of the church. We're teaching people how to get into their word. You know, the key thing that they said was that they wanted to include others. And including others into our life, including others into the hardships, so we could actually talk about what God has done, including others into the celebration, is a vital thing to do when it comes to discipleship. It's inviting and it's including. It's that continuous invitation. It's continuing to include people in our world. And I love God's love. God's love is an inclusive love. It's not an exclusive love. And you could see that in the story, because if you read earlier to John chapter 13, verse 2, it said Satan already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him. And later on, in verse 11, it says Jesus already knew that Judas was about to betray him. So what you're telling me is, what the Bible is telling us, is as Jesus went around the disciples' feet, you know, he got Peter, washed Peter's feet. Peter objected, which we'll talk about later, and he's about to move on. He's like, oh, wait, I got to get more of Peter's feet because it's really dirty, okay? And then he gets to Judas's feet. I'm just kidding. Peter's feet is not that dirty. But he gets to Judas's feet. And if I was you, I would be thinking, man, if I know Judas was about to betray me, how would I wash his feet? See, Jesus' love never changed for Judas. Jesus' love for Judas was the same as John, was the same as Peter, even though he knew Judas was going to betray him. Our love ought to include all and not exclude any. Our love ought to include all and not exclude any. We played some quarantine ball, basketball, a couple weeks ago, and got some of the guys from church together. And it was a good time, you know. Had my knee brace. I'm getting old. Had my ankles, you know, all wrapped up. It was a great time. And as we were playing, there was an individual who came by. And he wanted to join us. And of course, we're like, yeah, man, we would love to. So we invited him, you know, and we just had fun playing ball. And then the one thing that kind of stood out was he used a different set of vocabulary. Maybe it was vocab words that we use growing up. Maybe it's the type of word that you use when you're tall like me and you smack your head on a beam, you know, because somehow I smack my head on beams all the time. You know, and maybe it's that it's. And so he was doing that constantly. And I remember there was one point where one of the guys that was playing basketball looked at me and he gave me this weird look, like, and then I kind of gave him a look back where I was like. And I was thinking to myself, and I felt the Holy Spirit there right then. It's like, what thought is that? Is that a judging thought? Are you judging him because he's behaving differently, because he's acting differently than you? Are you making him lesser than you? And it's so funny because that's also the week of the Gospel and Race course where we were learning that we have the image of God. Every color, every person, no matter their behavior, has the image of God. That God's love for each person is the same. It's just the difference is I know he loves me, where that person might not know that. And as I thought about it further, 1 John 4 came to mind. 19 to 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. See, I might have not hated him or showed hate, but that thought that I had, that judging thought that we all have sometimes, just because the hate might not be shown, it doesn't mean the hate is felt. Because he could have felt that hate. And I felt that in that moment. And so after that, when we took a break, I just started asking questions. Asking him who he was, where he's from, getting to know the person. You know, I'm so thankful that one of the guys took his number down and said, hey, we'll invite you when we play basketball next. You know, we tend to ignore, we tend to not celebrate, we tend to maybe not acknowledge, or maybe these subtle things that we can do. And it might not be hate, but you got to ask yourself, when you read this verse, does it align with love or hate? If we are doing these subtle things because of differences that might exist, do we really love God? That's something for us to think about. It's funny because how I looked at that person, which I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I've done that before. It was the same feeling I had when I was in that youth group, when no one noticed me, when I thought everyone looked at me weirdly. We as Christians have to keep our love as inclusive as possible. We can't let that love become exclusive because of differences or because of similarities. We can't just pick and choose who we love because someone might be similar to us. God never did that. God's love for us is inclusive. Real love, shown with a Christ-like attitude, says, I'm not going to criticize that person for any dirt that might be on that feet. I'm going to wash that person's feet. I'm going to love that person. You know, sometimes there isn't any dirt on those feet. We just put dirt on those feet. And the moment we start to become exclusive with our love, it's when our relationship with Jesus becomes a superficial religion and we just become a Pharisee that Jesus actually tells us not to become. And that's why love is hard. Love is difficult. It's not easy. And this real love we're talking about, the real love that's felt, it's difficult. I would say it's impossible to do it on our own. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:20, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Another version says, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. See, the word of God is so key. It's so important. I don't need to develop my own word. I don't need to develop my own statements. I just use what's in the Bible. What's in the Bible is what people need to hear. See, it was Peter's turn. This is probably before Judas. Actually, to be honest, I don't know. But it was Peter's turn, okay? And if you read in John chapter 13, verse 8, when Jesus came to Peter with the water, ready to wash him, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And plus, Peter, your feet are ugly. I got to go get some of Mary's perfume to put on your feet. You know what I'm saying? No, you didn't say that. I'm just playing. See, Peter and the disciples were too concerned to be the greatest, like I mentioned before. And so they wouldn't even think to wash their brother's feet. They wouldn't even think to wash the other disciples' feet. See, I think sometimes, like Peter, we could go out of our way to wash Jesus' feet, but will we wash our brother's feet? Because that's what Jesus wants. And then I love that Peter had to receive God's instruction. He had to receive his word. He had to listen to his word, because if he didn't receive that word, if he didn't experience that act of sacrificial, that act of humility, that love, he would have not known how to do it. He would have to learn and imitate that. And that's what we're called to do, church. We can't love on our own. We're called to imitate God. Our love ought to imitate God. Our love ought to imitate Jesus. There's no other way. Ephesians 5 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Major key right there. And we walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It says, as dear children. See, children are natural imitators. Children will learn from their parents, will learn from their adults. You know, like we're thankful that even though despite the craziness of being at home, we get to raise our daughter. We get to be close to her. It's harder, but it's so worth it. You know, one thing Katie has taught her, Katie has done something and now Janie imitated her. She learned from her. It's this thing where Katie's like, how strong is Janie? And Janie goes like this. and it's the cutest thing ever. And you can keep on asking her, and she'll continue to do it. So, you know, I tested her. I've done it 4 times once. She's like, how strong is Jenny? How strong is Jenny? Her arms get like less and less. Last week I did it. She was holding something. I really tested her. And she took it, put it on the ground. She's like, and she was imitating what Katie taught her. You know, as dear children of God, we need to imitate Jesus. We need to imitate from reading his word, from absorbing his word. To imitate him means we need to receive his love. We need to receive. We need to recognize and receive his love daily. That story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, that's such a good story that we need to absorb. We need to take in. We can learn so much just from reading that. That's what we need to do. That's how we could instruct others in the word of God. That's how we could teach others in the word of God. God is relying on us, church, to wash our brothers and our sisters' feet. His reliance on us comes with our dependence on him, to learn from him. See, we can't love on our own like he does unless we receive his love. And the love we receive from him becomes the measure we use onto others. There is an order. There is an order. This church is an amazing church. This church has an amazing community. But what this church is going to be known for, I'm speaking here right now, what this church is going to be known for is the way we disciple people, the way we teach people how to love God, the way we teach people to understand and recognize how much God loves them. When someone says, I go to C3 Toronto, they're going to say, man, I love this church because it has taught me how to get into my word. It has taught me how to love God. It has taught me how to walk this life with the grace that God has given me. That is our church. Our church is a church that's going to teach people how to be disciples of Jesus. Not disciples of Jerry, disciples of Jesus. And we're going to see so many people empowered with the word of God, with the love of God, and teaching others of how much God loves them. You know, there was one vivid memory of Jose. It's funny, I don't remember any sermons from that youth group I went to. None. If I look back at that youth group, what was it called? I don't even know what it was called. Okay. Let's just call it youth group. Okay. And there was this one moment where I was sitting in the back row, right? I'm the back row guy. And Jose was sitting next to me, but he left. Jose was my youth leader. He left because he was service leading. He was doing all the announcements, right? And so he gets up to the front and the guy asks him, yo, what are you most excited about today? And he's like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I don't know. He didn't sound like that. Let's stay with this. I'm so excited because Jerry's here. I'm like, what? And everyone just looking around. He's like, he's in the back row. And I so happen to sit at the end of that back row, so it's really easy to see me. And so he points at me. Everyone's looking. I'm like, Like just pretending it's someone else. There's two dads walking in the back, you know, and waiting for their kids. And so everyone's, and he's like, he's right there in the back row. And I'm like, oh, sweet Lord, help me. I keep on looking, and my name is not Jerry. And because no one knew me, so I was able to play it off like that. It's crazy because me not being noticed, I was scared of being noticed and being rejected or being ignored. But what's so funny about that moment of him maybe embarrassing me, or him singling me out. The funny thing is, I felt so noticed. I felt so known by him. And that's the action. That's the love that I remember from my experience in youth ministry. In youth group. And something I've always carried with me, obviously, because I remember that. And I don't know about you. I don't know right now, you're watching right now. I don't know if you feel like you belong, or if you feel like you don't fit in, or, you know, if you don't have it all together. The truth is, none of us have it all together. We just got Jesus to help us through it. And I don't know if you feel like you don't belong. Jesus today is singling you out, not to embarrass you, singling you out because he wants you to know that he notices you. He loves you. He wants to invite you to do life with him. He wants you to include him in yours. He wants to instruct you with what the Bible says. And he wants you to imitate his love for you to others. That is the greatest purpose that we could live. That's the mission he's given us, to spread real love. Don't look at that train, look at me. God's love is so great. And today you could receive that by accepting the invitation to do life with him. If you are there right now and you're feeling that right now, and you want to invite Jesus into your life, you want to accept him into your life, there's a button that you could click on. I'd encourage you right now to click that button. It's the best decision you will ever make. God sees you. He's always seen you. You might even feel like Judas, where you're wondering, I feel like Judas. God's looking at you right now. He wants to continue to do life with you. He wants to wash your feet, and he wants to love you unconditionally. Hey, if you made this decision to follow Jesus today, I would love for you to repeat this prayer after me. Say it with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. I give you my life. I surrender it all. I accept you as my Savior, and I follow you as Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.